holy and without blame before him in love. That's amazing, isn't it? Grace is amazing. To know what we are by nature and what we are in Christ, it is simply amazing. I'd like to invite you to turn now to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I may not try to get all of these verses. They're good verses. You can go home and read them if you'd like. But Psalm 73, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, what drew me to this psalm was this one verse in verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isn't that our hope? As we go through this life, I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, sometimes I feel like I have very few answers. But I know who does have the answers. I know who does have the power. I know who does have the love. I know who does have the ability to provide all that I need. And so I'm going to look to him. I hope nobody's, you know, I made the statement recently. We were driving through one of the little towns here, and I saw on this billboard, it said, have faith in God. Well, I'm good with that. But the next line said, have faith in the United States. I thought, I can't go that far. I love this country. I believe we have the greatest country on the face of the earth. I believe the Lord has, by his providence, has brought us, given us this nation, and a lot of things have changed, but I still think it's the best place in the world to live. I love this nation. But I'm not trusting in government. Let's go back to the first one. Have faith in God. That's where my faith is. That's where he's the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All right? So he shall guide me by, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That's my hope. Now let's go back to the beginning of this chapter, Psalm 73. My subtitle here says it's a psalm of Asaph. So it's not a psalm of David, but it's still the inspired word of God. All right? So when we think about, even though it's Old Testament, even though this was recorded for us a long time ago, if it's the inspired word of God, then we can depend upon it as truth. We can depend upon it for guidance for our life today, understanding that there were some things about the Old Testament that have been fulfilled, and they're no longer what we observe. But nevertheless, when God gives us his counsel, when God tells us of his truths, then we can take that and rejoice in that and know that it will be good for us to put it into practice in our lives. All right, Psalm 73 begins with this. Truly, God is good to Israel. Now, Old Testament Israel was a nation. New Testament Israel is a nation of believers. The Old Testament was a geographical, a natural nation, descendants of Abraham. But in the New Testament, Jesus said in Matthew to those Jews, he said, the kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So he's speaking of going from the natural nation of Israel to a spiritual nation. Now, a nation of people are those that have a common birth. Okay? Well, we have a common birth as the spiritual Israel of God because we're born again. We're born from above. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we, whatever race we might be, whatever nation we may have come from, whatever the case, if we're born of God, if we are in Christ, then we're in the family of God. We have a common birth. Jesus spoke of that kingdom being taken from the Jews, the natural nation, the natural kingdom, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You have to be born of the Spirit in order to be bearing fruit of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit in order to know the Lord and love the Lord and want to do what's pleasing to the Lord. And so even though this is Old Testament, and while David, I'm going to say Asaph, may have been speaking, was speaking about Israel of old, bless your hearts, the Israel of God, the New Testament Israel, God's people, we can still say that today, can't we? That truly God is good to Israel. It's interesting, in my margin here, the translators put a note there that word truly could also have said yet. Yet God is good to Israel. It was true in that day. It's true today. It'll be true tomorrow. It'll be true the next day. It'll be true as long as this world stands, and we'll be able to sing his praises in all of glory because of his goodness and mercy upon us here. Truly, God is good to Israel. Isn't God good to us? Now, you know, we all have challenges. We all have tribulations. We all have problems. We all have sorrows and heartaches. But bless your hearts, if we know the Lord, if we know what he's done for us in providing his Son, that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, which is something that'll never change. If we know that, then that goodness is with us each day. Now, sometimes we think about his goodness as being temporal blessings, and yes, he does bless us in many ways. But oh, if we think about those things that he has done for us, gives to us, does for us each day, bless your hearts, what we have in Christ, what we have from the hand of God, from his purpose, from what Jesus accomplished, for what we're born again and be able to be blessed to know him and love him and have him within us. I tell you, God's good to us in so many ways. So many ways. Surely God is good to Israel. I saw something recently I thought I really appreciate it. It says those that don't know the Lord think that when they die, all their pleasures are over. But those who do know the Lord know that when they die, all their sorrows are past. All their troubles are over. All the challenges, the heartaches, the disappointments, the failures, all of those kinds of things are over for the child of God. For when we close our eyes in death here upon this life, we immediately awake in the presence of the one that loved us and gave himself for us, that we might be with him forever, with all the redeemed family of God, without the loss of one. Isn't that going to be a glorious time? I noticed several of our songs this morning was speaking about heaven and the prospect of what we look forward to when we get up there. Bless your hearts, I do look forward to that. But I also know that God is good to us every day that we live right now. And I can enjoy that now while I look forward to heaven's pure world. So truly, God is good to Israel. But now, you don't have to go very far in this psalm to realize that the idea was put forth that sometimes our thinking gets off track. Can you relate to that? Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we think too much of things of the world, instead of the things which are above. You know, Colossians chapter 3 says, set your affection, all of it, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, it's a sure prescription that you dwell too much on the what's wrong in this world today, and you'll get to feeling mighty bad. You'll get discouraged. You'll get cast down. You'll get depressed thinking about what's going on in the world today. But I tell you something. There's some good news. If you'll think on, set your affection on things above, if you'll think about the things of God, if you'll think about the blessings of God, if you'll think about the mercy of God, if you'll think about our eternal security in what Christ has done for us, it will help you deal with the circumstances that you have to face on a daily basis. It's not going to take the circumstances away, but it'll help you to realize you've got help. We don't have to go through this alone. For the child of God, we have the Lord that's with us at all times. And so we find truly God is good to Israel, whether it was Old Testament Israel or whether it's us today. God is good to Israel. Now listen to what he says. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What happens when you slip? I think I heard somebody say fall. Yeah. And if you talk about slipping on the ice in the wintertime, you're pretty well going to fall. I've done that. That's not any fun at all, is it? But there's lots of ways that we can slip and fall. It's not just physically slipping with your feet. Sometimes we can slip with our mind and get our mind on the things of this world instead of the things of God. So listen to what he said. But as for me, so while God is good every day, and he's good to us every day, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. In other words, he was setting himself up for a fall. You know, that's something we need to realize, that we're subject to that every day. If we don't keep our mind on the right things, if we don't keep our attitude in where it needs to be and how on what it needs to be, then we're in jeopardy. We're subject to slipping. It might be a little fall. It might be a big fall. But we have to be careful, don't we? We have to realize that we're subject to vanity. Okay? So he says that, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious. And here's where the writer was about to fall. This is the matter under consideration that was about to take him down. Okay? Says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In other words, if we get our mind off the Lord and we start thinking about and looking about and seeing others that are prospering in this life and thinking they've got it all, and thinking that, well, they do what they want to, and they're blessed. You see where he was going with his thoughts and his mind? He was thinking that, well, it doesn't matter. Those people are doing what they want to do, and they're getting blessed. Now, listen. He goes on to say, verse 5, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Wow. You see how he's thinking? He's not thinking about the goodness that God is blessing him with each day. He's looking at others and he's being envious and perhaps even covetous toward those that have material blessings in this world. That's a dangerous place to be with your thinking, because you're setting yourself up for a fall. Okay? Now, I went over something real quickly early on, and I want to, now that I've got that in front of you, let's go back and read verse 1 again. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Preacher, I don't feel like I have a clean heart. I'll make a lot of mistakes. I come short in so many ways. How could this be for me? Well, if you were listening to Brother Thomas, and if you know what Christ has done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, that he has saved us by his own precious blood, he's redeemed us to God, he's taken the penalty of our sins away, put it as far as the east is from the west, all that we have in Christ that he has done for us, bless your hearts, what more could you want? The goodness and mercy that God has given us in Christ. All right? But the fact is, we do have this old nature that we have to contend with. Even the Apostle Paul, with all the understanding that he had and with all the experiences that he had, he still, Romans chapter 7, he speaks about how that the good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Can you relate to that? The Apostle Paul is telling us that he had that old nature to deal with as well. And that when he wrote to the Galatian brethren, Paul said that there was that conflict between the flesh and the spirit. That they are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do what you would. All right? So when we think about the goodness and mercy of God, we realize we come short in ourselves. We come short in so many ways. That's why the Lord had to send his son to this world, to save us from our sins. We couldn't do it ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'll tell you some good news. If you feel to be a sinner, if you understand that you come short, if you understand you're not what you ought to be, that is evidence of the Spirit of God in you providing that condemnation or that conviction. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are his child. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you feel that conviction, it's because it's the Spirit of God in you. And the Word of God tells us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, where he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, our standing before God in Christ is that we are righteous, that Jesus has put away our sins. Our standing before God is that we are clean. But in our experience, we still got this old nature to contend with that we carry around with us all the time. And we realize that that old flesh rears its ugly head sometimes. And we need the Lord's help. We need to call upon God. We need to confess our sins. Like John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, what? Cleanse us. As a matter of conscience, as a matter of the feelings in our heart, when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But you know, one problem that some people have is that we don't confess to God our shortcomings. And so we don't feel that cleansing. We don't feel that forgiveness. But the Word of God gives us the remedy. If we don't feel like that our heart is clean, then bless your heart, let's go to God and confess our sins that He may, because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Forgiveness is a matter of our conscience and a feeling in our heart. We have the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, but we, in this life, there's times when we stumble and falter along the way. Maybe our mind wanders and we think about things we shouldn't. Whatever the case might be, let's go to God. Let's confess our sins. He's faithful and just. Why is He just? Because Jesus has paid that debt. Faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Do you remember when David in Psalm 51 is begging God to restore to him the joy of his salvation? He had messed up tremendously. I won't go into that. But he had committed some awful sins. You remember what he said? Part of what he said in that chapter? Create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This word tells us what we need to do. This is the counsel. I mentioned verse 24. This is the counsel that we need in life to help us as we walk day to day, because we sometimes stumble and falter along the way. But God's given us the remedy. He sent His Son to save us from our sins, but He's also given us His Spirit to provide that conviction that we need to confess our sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins as a matter of conscience. All right? So our conscience is purged so that we can get up and go again in trying to be faithful to our God. All right? Aren't we thankful that God has blessed us with that while we go through this life? I need that on a daily basis. Somebody might say, well, preacher, I did that one time. Didn't last very long. Confession. Well, you know, a bath doesn't last very long either, but I recommend it on a regular basis. We need that. We need that kind of cleansing as a matter of conscience before God, because we need the Lord every step of our way. All right? So, Psalm 119 also. Psalm 119 verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? I think I could take the liberty in saying that it just not just young men, all of us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his? Now it's good to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, okay? Because we can avoid a lot of sorrows, a lot of disappointments, if we follow the Lord in that way early in our life. But He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He says there's a cleansing of our way. When we walk according to the word of God, our way is clean. Okay? So we need to think about that and remember His goodness and mercy upon us. One more before we move on to that. Now we've got to hasten on with this. Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes. He also addresses young men, but again, this is good for us at any age. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. for childhood and youth are vanity. And then chapter 12, the very last two verses of Ecclesiastes, 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the psalmist said, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He then goes into a number of things about how I read to you verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Perhaps we've all experienced that in life, where we trying to do what we can and we see others, it seemed like whatever they did prospered, even though they weren't to our observation, maybe they weren't trying to serve the Lord, but it seemed like they were prospering anyway. And you get to thinking about that. Well, the psalmist is teaching us a lesson here. He's teaching us that that can happen. And he goes through a lot of things about that kind of thinking and how that kind of envy colors the truth and blinds the heart. And like I said, I don't have time to go through all these verses, but he says, and he describes in verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Now, part of that bad thinking in verses 13 and 14, he says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. Oh, really? When we're thinking like we should, we wouldn't be saying that. But if our thinking has gotten off onto the things of this world, that's the kind of talking that we would be doing, all right? Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. In other words, this person, when their thinking is not right, they're thinking, oh, woe is me. Everything's going wrong. Okay? Drop down to, then he comes to realize the error of that kind of thinking. In verse 21, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, that is, in my thoughts. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. In other words, he's saying, I'm acting like somebody, like a beast, you know, one that doesn't have a knowledge of God, that one that doesn't know the goodness of God, that one that doesn't know that Jesus is coming to this world, this is Old Testament, but one that doesn't know God and that doesn't know the goodness and mercy of God. You know, as much as we may love our animals, our pets and so forth, they don't, from what we know, they don't, and from what the scriptures indicate, they don't have a knowledge of God. Do we? Is our speech reflecting that we know that God's good to us and we're rejoicing in his goodness and mercy each day? Or is our speech kind of like just a beast in the earth? See, that wrong kind of thinking leads to wrong actions, doesn't it? It leads to a slipping. It can lead to a fall. So we need to keep our mind and our heart clean on the things of God. And so he says, so foolish was I and ignorant. You know, that's not a, that's his confession, by the way. He came to that realization and he's confessing, so ignorant to think like he had thought, to think those thoughts and think that it doesn't matter. He says, so foolish was I. You know, a clean heart A clean heart would never charge God foolishly. A clean heart is one that recognizes we're the ones that come short. We're the ones that need mercy. We're the ones that need God's help. And God is the one with all the love and the mercy and compassion that we need, because he's already shown us his great love. No greater love can any man, I think Brother Thomas quoted, greater love hath no man this, a man lay down his life for his friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command you. But God has shown us the greatest love by sending us his son. You know, 1 John 4, 9 or 10, he says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means that God gave his son to be a substitute. Jesus gave himself in our room instead. He died for us so that we can live with him. The glory of the inheritance that we have in Christ, you know, an earthly inheritance, whatever it may amount to, is just an earthly inheritance. Those things are perishable. But the inheritance we have in God is that not only did Jesus die for us and secured that for us, he rose again, and we'll be able to enjoy it with him in heaven's pure world forever. And we'll sing his praises for all that he's done for us. But the psalmist came to this realization and made his confession, so foolish was I and ignorant. Now that's not he's just simply confessing his own ignorance. He's not calling somebody else. He said, so foolish was I and ignorant. He wasn't thinking about the goodness of God that had been extended toward him. And so he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Oh, this is the counsel of the Lord. This is how he speaks to us today. This word will guide us. This word will feed our souls. This word will encourage us. This word will lift us up. And this word may even convict us sometimes if our thoughts haven't been what they ought to be. If our footsteps haven't been where they need to be, this word can convict us, can't it? I see some mm-hmms. It does. And if we're in the right frame of mind, we realize that's what I need to hear. So that counsel will guide us through this life, knowing that afterward, because of what we have in Christ, afterward he will receive us to glory. So let me read the last couple of verses here. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Now his thinking is like it should be, isn't it? And when we're thinking like we should be, we realize there's none better. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever we need, he's able to provide. And out of his love and his mercy and compassion, he provides the things that we need. Okay? Now there may be some things that we want that are not necessarily spiritual needs. They may be earthly things, and we may not get all the things, and we don't get all the things that we want in a natural way, but those things that we need, the Lord provides. Okay? Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, when we're thinking as we should, we realize there's times when our thinking is not the way it ought to be. Our actions are not what they ought to be. Our footsteps are not where they ought to be. But God is the strength of my heart. He's the one who has the counsel to guide us in the right way. So let us make our confession unto him. Let's confess our sins to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Why should we want to think like them? Those that are far from the Lord are going to perish in this life. All right? Why would we want to think that way? For they that are far from thee shall perish, but thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me. Now here, you know, he began by saying, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But he talked about the fact that he didn't have a clean heart at one time. And the kind of thoughts that he had that led him astray and caused him to be almost ready to fall. But he's coming back here to tell us about this clean heart. He says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. That'll help your thinking. That'll help your walk. That'll help your thoughts. That'll help you. That'll counsel you and bless you while you go through this life. He says, I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. May God help us to remember truly, yet God is good to Israel. If we have that hope within us, we are a part of that Israel of God. We are one of his children. We are one of those that will be, that because of Christ, holy and without blame before him in love. May God help us. You know, James told us, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. So if you have that desire within you to draw nigh to God, then have the confidence also that his word is faithful. If we'll draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. It's good for us to be close to the Lord. Surely, God is good to Israel. May God bless you, is our prayer.